A very good day to you. We're glad that you're able to join us today. We are also glad to be here to have an opportunity to study the Bible with you. Just refer to this as your Bible study on the air. For the next 90 minutes, we're going to delve in to God's Word and find the answers to your questions that you might have concerning the Word of God. And so we invite you to give us a call. The announcer already gave you the phone numbers. We'll give you them to you several times throughout the program. And so you can call up with a question that you have about the Bible. So we invite you to participate with us. We invite you to study with us, especially want you to study with us as we go through these questions that people call or text in. So if you'd like to call a Bible question in, call 308-9564. That's an 843 number, 308-9564. You can text us also at 725-9283. That will get your question into us. We'll immediately go to the Scriptures, and you can listen to what the Bible says about that. That's our desire to know only what the Bible speaks, and that's the thing that we will seek to give you. We will try to give you what God's Word says. Now, if there's a question that we just not sure what the answer is, we'll take time to study that out for you, so we can make sure that this is what the Bible is speaking. So we invite you to join us here today on Let the Bible Speak.
Now, if you'd rather text in your question, you can do that by texting to area code 843. All of our numbers are area code 843. And then the text number is 725-9283. And you can get right to us here at the studio, and you will be able to get your question in on today's program. So please join us right now as we go to the Bible for all the answers. We're going to be able to find the answers in God's Word, and thus we'll be giving you book, chapter, and verse so that you do not have to listen to us. You can see it right there in your Bible. And the reason for that is Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let's go there for all the answers, and thus we're able to hear what God Himself wants rather than what man is coming up with. We live in a day and a time where a lot of truths are being taught, and one of the things that is being braced in our nation here in America so much is that there's no such thing as truth anymore. But that's nothing new. That was even the question that was asked to Jesus right as he was on trial. What is truth? Well, Jesus had earlier told us exactly what truth is. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we're going to go to him for the answers. We're going to give you book, chapter, and verse to all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. So now's your chance. Both lines are available, 308-9564. That's the voice line, 308-9564. And you can call in your question right now. This is a live broadcast, and we are waiting for your questions. And thus, you're able to be able to do something that's quite unique. You set the theme. You ask the question, but it is God that gives the answer. So, in essence, you set the topic for today's broadcast, and then we'll go to the Bible for the answers. We'll go to give you book, chapter, and verse, and thus you'll be able to see what our eternal Creator expects of us from His Word. Now, as we're waiting on your questions, we do want you to be aware of, you can join us through our website as well at BibleAlone.com, and there's a live stream button, so if you have friends or relatives that live in other parts of the world, they too can join us right now via the website, and they just need to hit the live stream, whether they're in Afghanistan, whether they're in Ethiopia, whether they're in South Africa. No matter where you're at, if they're online, they can go to BibleAlone.com and hit the live stream button and join us right now as we go to the Bible for the answers. Now, if you have a smartphone, there is an app called TuneIn Radio. TuneIn, T-U-N-E-I-N, Radio. And you can download that app and then search for WJNI in Charleston, which is 106.3. And they can listen anywhere at any time. And in this time, that is the next 90 minutes or The next 80 minutes, we're going to be answering your questions on the air. So join us right now at 308-9564 with your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer to the question on your mind. Or you can text us absolutely free. Everything we offer on this broadcast is free, and you can text in your question, and we will be happy to be able to share with them the words of eternal life.
Thank you, Ricky. And, you know, while we're waiting on your calls and your text messages, your questions to answer on the radio program, I want to let everyone know about our Bible correspondence. We offer these free of charge to any and everyone. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "Whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." Is it possible that we may have been restricted from learning the whole truth? Could the lack of truth keep us from going to heaven? Would a court of law let us go free if we broke a law that we did not know about? Absolutely not. It's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that we know what the Bible says. We know what God says pertaining to life and godliness. And he has said he's given us everything that we need pertaining to life and godliness. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 8, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is very important. We should know God. We should know the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does not, he who does the will of my Father in heaven." Guess what? The only way we'll know what the will of our Father in heaven is if we study it. We have to study his word. And so call 553-5157 to enroll in our free Bible correspondence courses. We'll mail it to you for free. We don't want your money. 843-553-5157. Steve?
Yes. When you think about the Bible and Bible teaching and compared with different church teachings, you may have heard the word tradition. That we do these things because it's tradition. If you ever saw the movie with the Fiddler on the Roof, one of the famous songs of that movie was Tradition. And it's interesting that the Bible talks about tradition in two different passages that are really interesting. One is in Matthew chapter 15, where the Pharisees are upset at the apostles of Jesus because they do not keep the tradition of the elders, and that's in Matthew 15. And so that passage is used, and that word rather is used, and then Jesus' reply to the Pharisees concerning the apostles not washing their hands, he asks them a question too. He says, "And why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" Now, so what that tells us is there is a contrast between tradition, man's teaching, versus the commandments of God. So my question is, how do you tell the difference? How do you tell the difference between a tradition of men and a commandment of God? And that becomes a key idea when we're trying to distinguish what the truth teaches versus what man teaches. We get so accustomed to something being done the same way all the time that we just equate that with, well, that must be what the Bible says because everybody does it that way. But the thing that needs to be determined is, well, then where is that teaching in the Bible? And so if you've got a question this afternoon, about is something that you're practicing, something your church practices, is that a tradition of men or is that a commandment of God? So if you'd like to send that question our way, we would be more than happy to look in the scriptures and try to help you with that. So if you can, give us a call, 308-9564, or text us, 725-9283.
Thank you, Steve. We are waiting for your questions. We are here to answer your questions. Call 308-9564, area code 843. That's 843-308-9564. You can text in your question, 843-725-9283, and we will get those questions answered. You won't hear our opinion. You won't get our thoughts on it. You will hear straight from God, because at the end of the day, it's His word that matters. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Ricky." No.
Where,
the words
is that,
of Steve.
Where is that verse? Where is that?
I don't think it's in there. It's the word of God. It's very important that we understand our faith can be only found in Him. And in order to have that faith, we have to hear God's word. Remember that Bible correspondence course that I told you about a few minutes ago? That's available to you free of charge. You want to get started on that course, we'll mail it to you. In fact, we'll put it in the mail today. Call 843-553-5157. We're going to break. Remember, while we're on break, call in your question, 843-308-9564. We'll be right back.
And we hope you're having a very pleasant afternoon. This weather is absolutely amazing when we consider that we are just about to cross the Christmas holidays and change the new year, and yet we're going to be seeing 70-degree weather. So this is great, and we hope that you are enjoying it as well. And this morning was quite cool, but things are looking up as far as temperatures. But we want you to join us as far as the temperature of your spirit, your soul, that you might be able to find the warmth that only the God who made the sun can give you through His word. And so if you have a question, you can join us right now at 308-9564. That is the phone number, the voice line, to where there's an operator standing by. They can have your question written down and brought into us in here in the studio, and we will answer it live on the air today. So where else can you get your probing Bible questions from than from an opportunity like this? And to be able to get the answer from God's word. And so go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather just text in your question, you can do that as well. That number to be able to text in your question is area code 843-725-9283. Either way you want to approach it, then go ahead and call in your question right now. Again, the voice line is 308-9564. And by the way, if you would like, you can go live over the air. The only thing we ask, if you want to go live on the air, is you be ready to turn your radio down so there will not be a confusing echo, and that we would like to ask you for your name as well so we can be courteous and address you by name when we're talking live on the air. Again, that number for the voice line is 308-9564. Or if you'd just rather text, then you can text to 725-9283. Steve?
And it is beautiful weather outside. I ate lunch sitting outside today, and so I know how nice it is. And so maybe a lot of people out shopping, doing other things. But if you are home and listening to this program, we just are so grateful and thankful for you putting first things first. You know, Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So we appreciate so much your spiritual priorities. Now, a little bit ago, we talked about tradition and how to tell the difference between man's tradition and God's commandments. Now, to kind of encourage you about why it's important to distinguish between those two things, in Colossians chapter 2, Paul makes an interesting contrast between those two things as well. In verse 6, Paul says to the church at Colossae, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And then here's verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. Now, that's Paul's warning. So we read about Jesus' warning of not keeping the traditions of men, the importance of distinguishing between the commandments of God and the traditions of men. And Paul does the same thing, that we should walk in Jesus, we should be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, just as they were taught. Taught by what? Taught by the commandments of God. And then he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. So you can see from that verse as well that it's very, very important that you be able to distinguish between the commandments of men and or the traditions of men and the commandments of God. So again, that's where the Bible comes in. That's where the Bible is so important. The Bible claims to be inspired of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. So how do I know whether my doctrine is the traditions of men or the commandments of God? Well, just read the Scriptures. Just turn to the Bible and search it. And that's what this program is all about. Let the Bible Speak is the name of the program, and we are very diligent in seeking to seek for our own personal questions in the Scriptures as well. It's interesting how many times we get together and we start to talk about this, that, or the other, and our first question is, well, what does the Bible say about that? So we try to take our own medicine as well and just speak as the oracles of God. Again, if you have a question out there, you're listening, give us a call. 308-9564 is the voice line. You can also text us at 725-9283. And you can get your question in here. We'll have a little Bible study with you, and we so enjoy that, and we hope that you look forward to that as well.
You know, Steve, you talked about the commandments of God and the tradition of men. You know, when it comes to salvation, there are several traditions that men have come up with in order to tell us how we should be saved. I want to point the audience's attention to Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, Paul, being inspired by God, warns us that if we were to change this gospel, change this instruction, that something seriously would happen to us. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8, it says, but even if we, this is Paul talking now, he says, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what we have received, let him be accursed. Would you like to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? It's important that you seek only to hear God's word. There are several different traditions and religion and denominations out there. And today you can walk down one road and probably see maybe 10 to 15 different type churches in the area. But if there's one Bible and one gospel, and this one faith, why is there many different teachings? Well, that's because someone decided to add or take away from what the Lord had already instructed. And we see here in God's word what happens to those who bring another gospel. He says, let them be accursed. So it's important that you study God's word, that you hear and see what God says concerning things pertaining to life and things pertaining to godliness. We're open for questions, 843-308-9564.
We have this caller calling in or texting in this question. Before I read the question, let me tell our listeners, I want to apologize to you. I would assume you have been calling, and this is strange to say on the radio, but the ringer on the telephone was not on, and we apologize for that. We just don't assume that someone turned it off to begin with, but nevertheless, that was the case. So if you've been trying to get through and you called and no one was picking up, we apologize. It was just we did not hear the phone ringing. And so now that we got that straightened out, you can go ahead and call in your questions now, 308-9564. That is the number, and that's area code 843. So please go ahead and call back, and we'll be glad to get to your questions through the voice line, 308-9564. We have this caller texting in this question: how can I turn my life around from doing wrong? And that's from the last three digits of 282. We thank you so much for calling in, texting in your question. And so we want to take you to what the Bible says concerning what the answer to that question is. The word repent is the number. Repent is the answer to that question. And the word repent means to turn around, just like you said in your question. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, it tells us a little bit more about the heart that is involved with that repentance. It says, "For godly sorrow works repentance not to be regretted, but sorrow of the world produces death." So just because we turn our life around does not mean that we have turned that it's pleasing to God. It's got to be motivated by a godly sorrow. I liken it into vertical motivation versus horizontal motivation. If I were to be driving down the road, and those of y'all that are watching on Periscope right now, I'm patting a law officer on the back, and let's say that he pulled me over because I was speeding and he gave me a ticket. Well, I would be upset, but would I be upset because my friend was giving me a ticket, or would I be upset because I have offended God, because God tells me to keep the laws of the land? God wants me to have a sorrow that is of godly sorrow. If I sin, if I do something wrong, I need to have a sorrow in my heart because I have offended Him. And so the motivation for my change, my turnaround, is very important. Is it a godly motivation or is it a worldly motivation? And so if it is a worldly motivation, then it will accomplish nothing. It may be because my superior is just holding my hand to the fire or keeping an eye over my shoulder. Well, that's not what should be motivating a child of God. We're only trying to please the one and only creator, maker, and example for us to live by. That would be God. And so if He is the one that is motivating the change in my life, well, then that will bring life. But if it is another source, then that will bring death. The end of that verse says, the sorrow of the world produces death. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, go ahead and read verse 9 and 10. And if you read both 1 and 2 Corinthians, you'll get the whole context of what he is dealing with there. Thank you so much for your question. We sure appreciate it very much. And again, we want to say an apology to all of you that tried to get in over the telephone and the ringer was not on. And so now everything is working. So go ahead with your questions, 308-9564. That's the voice line. And we have someone standing by to answer it. It's with the ringer ringing. And then if you would rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. Time for us to take our next break. Ricardo, you have something you want to say about that?
Yeah, while we're on break, I need everyone to call 843-553-5157 so we can get your free Bible correspondence course in the mail to you today. I did say free. That's right. We're not going to ask you for any contribution, any offering, any of your tithe. This Bible lesson is completely free for everyone that's listening. So call in while we go on break, 843-553-5157, and we'll be right back.
We are back live now, and we're glad that you are joining us. We just got word that also we're having technical difficulties with the live stream button from our website, but we'll check out and make certain the tune-in radio is still functioning. If not, then if you are outside this broadcast area, we apologize, and probably you're not even hearing me say that, so I guess that would not be appropriate. But we are doing our best to make certain all avenues of communication are open and viable to you so that you might be able to get your question in on today's broadcast. There is another way. If you have a computer, you can watch online at, if you have a app called Periscope, we actually have video broadcasting through that means as well. And this is in Charleston, and you can look and you'll see a way to be able to join us that way as well. So now, if you have a question, go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Steve, I believe you have the next question.
Yes, this is a question from Van. And Van, we appreciate you being persistent and calling back in if you were one of those early callers when the phone ringer wasn't on. So we appreciate your question. Well, here is Van's question specifically. He says, are there still apostles today, and what are their duties? Well, there of course were the 12 apostles. And when one hung himself, Judas, they had to replace him. And so the apostles had certain qualifications to meet. And so when we ask the question, are there still apostles today, we have to say, well, can any meet those qualifications? So let's read together the qualifications for an apostle, and we'll see if anybody fits that description. So here in Acts chapter 2, there are the 120 in the house. They're all together, apostles with Mary and his brothers. And they bring up the scripture about replacing Judas. They read in verse 20, for instance, of Acts 1 is where we are. Verse 20 says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, the conclusion that Peter draws is, therefore, of these men who have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So notice that the particular thing that distinguished the replacement of Judas's apostleship was one who would be a witness of his resurrection. So let's go back again and look at verse 21. Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. So first thing we'd have to be looking for a person to be apostle is somebody that lived during the time of Jesus, and not only lived during the time of Jesus, but was with Jesus from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up. So those are the qualifications we're looking for. So does anybody meet that qualification today? And we would have to answer, well, no, because nobody lived then. And it is interesting, as you read on, there were only two in verse 23, only two who met those qualifications. Now, get on the next part of the question, what are their duties? Well, the duties of the apostles then was they were to be, as we read in the verse, witnesses of his resurrection. And that's what they did. Verse 8 of Acts chapter 1, earlier Jesus had said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So other passages to think about are Ephesians 2:20. They were really on the ground floor of the Lord's church. They were considered the foundation of the church in Ephesians 2:20. And in Ephesians 4:11, they were gifts given to the church that all might grow up into Christ. That's Ephesians 4 and verse 11. The church was given, Christ gave the first apostles and then prophets. So, Van, that's the answer to the question. Acts chapter 1 gives the qualifications, verses 21 through 22, and Ephesians 4:11 and Ephesians 2:20 talked about some of their responsibilities. And so we appreciate so much that question, and we hope that is beneficial to not only you, but others who are listening as well.
Now, if you have a question, go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. 308-9564, and we will get to your question and also answer it from the Bible. And thus, that's why this program is called Let the Bible Speak. We're not going to give you the opinions of man. We're not going to be giving you doctrines that man has come up with or what churches teach. We're just going to go to the Bible for all the answers that pertain to life and godliness. The voice line, 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. We want to thank all of you that are participating thus far, and we hope and pray that our efforts to direct you to what God says have been fruitful thus far and that you are being blessed from this. And by the way, if you get a lot out of this program each week, you will get a lot more out of studying God's Word for yourself. And we'll be glad to send you a tool on that to help you to get into the Bible, to find the answers that maybe have been hidden through the years. All you have to do is call 553-5157 to enroll in that Bible correspondence course, and it will be in the mail this week to you absolutely free. So please don't hesitate to call for your answers to the Bible for your Bible studies right now, 553-5157. Now, we have Kim. Kim calling in this question. They want to know, what does the Sabbath mean after the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Well, Kim, the actual word simply means the same thing. It means rest. That's what the word Sabbath means, rest. Now, in the Old Testament, God expected them to rest on the seventh day of the week. However, that commandment, which was given, even in chiseled in so, was not something that was carried over into the New Testament, into Christ's law. That doesn't mean the word Sabbath is meaningless. Actually, it means there's a new application to rest in the new, and that is in Hebrews chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. It says, "For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way," quote, "and God rested on the seventh day from all his works," unquote. Now that's in Genesis chapter 2. "And after this place," quote, they shall not enter my rest, because they had sinned. Psalm 95:11 brings that out. Now verse 6, "Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those whom it was first preached did not enter it because of disobedience," again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it had been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." And if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Now that would be us. "For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience." And so this rest that he's referring to is the heavenly rest, one we will go to after we leave these bodies behind. And verse 14 goes on to say, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession, and that we may, for we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need." And so there's the rest he's referring to now. That is the one they'll receive in heaven. So we've got to work while we're here. It's not a special day of the week. It is a special time after we leave this body behind. That's the rest that he has planned for us now. I hope that's helpful to you. We certainly appreciate your question, Kim. And so that's Hebrews chapter 4, verses 4 through 14. And we appreciate your calling in and tuning in for your question. Thank you. Again, the number, if you have a question, you can call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the voice line. Or you can text us. If you'd rather, you can use your cell phone to text us. And that number is 725-9283. Steve?
We have a text question here concerning sexual purity with a single person. You know, that's always a sensitive subject, and it seems like that sometimes people think, well, if I'm not married, then I can't be guilty of committing adultery. And so the person wants to know, as it mentions, that the young people need to know the truth of what does not please God, and they requested a clear scripture reference. Well, I appreciate that so much, especially the reference to a clear Bible passage. Let's go to a couple of them. One is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 is a good passage to go to because it talks about the works of the flesh. And one of the things that this question really addresses, what sexual purity or impurity really touches on, is the lust of the flesh. 1 John 2 talks about there are three things that Satan uses to get through to us. One is the lust of the eyes, one is the lust of the flesh, and one is the pride of life. And so those first two particularly appeal to Satan's way of getting through to our hearts. If he gets through to our hearts, he gets through to our bodies. And so the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. So think about what it is about the lust of the eyes, how people cruise the internet for pornography. Well, that makes you impure. That gives you impure thoughts. And so in Galatians chapter 5, then, it talks about not walking according to the flesh. Verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you wish. And then verse 19 lists some actual fleshly sins. It says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, and selfish ambitions, etc. But those listing of those sins. Adultery, of course, we would know would be a sexual act outside of marriage. Fornication is any kind of sexual act with anybody else. And so if you are a single person and you are engaging in sexual acts, then that is referred to as fornication. Then there's uncleanness. You know, there's a lot of things we can do that make us unclean. That may not be a sexual act, but it will be a perversion of that which is not correct. Lewdness is in the same category. In fact, all those things mentioned in verse 19 are of a sexual nature. Now, let's address this idea of the heart, because that's so important as well. When Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 talks to us about and the concern there, is the concern of committing adultery. I know that's not necessarily the question that the person has addressed since they've talked about single people, but there's a point here that needs to be understood about the importance of the heart. So in verse 28, Jesus says that the sin of adultery begins in the person's heart. Notice what he says here in verse 28. He said, but I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, again, the heart is such an important thing. One more passage in Matthew chapter 15 where Jesus has been talking about those things that offend. And he says the things that offend, verse 19, for out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So we're up on a break, actually past a break. But Ricardo, what can you tell us?
Well, while we're on break, we still have those free Bible correspondence courses available. It's amazing. Several people have signed up so far, and they will be receiving their courses in the mail probably within the next day or two. But you can receive yours, too. Call 843-553-5157. We'll be right back. And we're back live. Let the Bible Speak program. Remember, we are here to answer your questions pertaining to life and godliness straight from God's Word. Earlier, I mentioned in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that, you know, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven, said Jesus. I want to finish reading that particular passage of scripture because I think we live in a time where if you call yourself a Christian, then you're a Christian. If you say you follow Christ, then you'll more than likely get into heaven. When the truth is, it's really more to it than just that. In verse 22 of Matthew chapter 7, it says, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? Verse 23 is key. He says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. That's the individual that thought for years they were serving God. The individual that said they were a Christian. The individual that really believed when they die, they were going to be in heaven for all eternity. But Jesus says, I'm going to say to that individual, depart from me, I never knew you. So what is it that we have to do in order for Jesus not to say to us, depart from me? I don't know about you, but I dread to hear those words on the day I stand before him. Well, he said it in verse 21, that we have to do the will of the Father in heaven. And the will of the Father is clearly outlined in his word. This is why we're doing this program. This is why we offer the free Bible correspondence course, because we want everyone to be clear on what the will of God is. We don't want to stand before God on that day and hear, depart from me. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. If that's you, make sure you're dialing that number, 843-553-5157. To start your Bible course today. In the meantime, go ahead and call in your question, 843-308-9564. That's 843-308-9564. Ricky?
Yes, we are glad that you are joining us today. The number to call in your question voice-wise is 308-9564. You can join us right now and call in your question at 308-9564. Or you can text us with your cell phone at 725-9283. You set the topic, you set the theme, but God's Word is going to give the answer. One of the things that disturbs me more than just about anything is the number of people that do not notice what God has to say about people being lifted up and becoming more important than others. Recent events were brought to my memory again about how that is so often overlooked. Ladies and gentlemen, do you happen to remember why Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land? If you look carefully, you'll see in Numbers chapter 20, he did strike the rock when God said, speak to it, but that's not why God punished him, it seems, because the very next verse, God told Moses, because you failed to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, neither you nor Aaron will be allowed in the promised land. Psalms records that as he spoke rashly. Well, how was that rash? When he said, must we fetch water out of this rock, rather than must God fetch water out of this rock. So if Moses, by a slip of the tongue, could be punished and not allowed to go into the promised land. Now, he went to heaven. Don't worry about that, because that's evident from the later on in the scriptures. But he was not allowed to go into the promised land. And so if he was punished for that, not giving the adequate glory to God that he should, then what about all of the behaviors that we see witnessed in the religious world today? Here this last week, there were events that occurred, and I just wanted to almost scream, not because I was praising God, but because I saw such behavior that was going so blatantly against what Matthew chapter 23 says. In Matthew chapter 23, Jesus is addressing religious people, the most upward, most famous, the most powerful religious people in his day, the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, those that were judging him. And he's warning us, his disciples, with these words. He's talking about them. It says, they love the best places in the feast, the best seats in the synagogue. Well, what I witnessed was a whole line of folks that were seeking out the best seats in the location that we were in. He says, they love greetings in the marketplace, to be called by man. And then they came up back then with Rabbi, Rabbi. They came up with names that were exalted by. And he says, or maybe even teacher, reading verse 8, says, but you do not be called Rabbi, for one is your teacher, the Christ, and you are all brethren. Ladies and gentlemen, in the kingdom of God today, in his people, there's not going to be those with big I's and little U's. There's not going to be those people that are going to be elevated and lifted up, or even allow themselves to be elevated and lifted up without punishment from the Christ, the one who has, in his own words, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. So if Jesus has got all authority, then how much do we have today? Right. He's got it all. We have none. The only thing we can do is, as his people, his brethren, that we can follow his authority, book, chapter, and verse. He goes on and calls them several other things in this chapter if you want to read on. But let me point out one other event that took place that you might have a comment or question on, and that is in Acts chapter 12, where even an infidel by the name of Herod, when the people started shouting out, the Lord, he is God, he didn't stop them. He just stood there and let them call that out. And you know, it says that right after that, God struck him dead and he was eaten of worms. Talk about a bad way to die. He was punished for just allowing himself to be elevated. One other thing I saw this last week that kind of disturbed me was people accepting the name Reverend. Ladies and gentlemen, that word reverend is only in the old King James Bible one time, and that's Psalm 111 and verse 9. And ladies, gentlemen, those of you that believe the Bible, here's what God says in his word. He says, holy and reverend is his name, God's name. And for man to be elevated to where that they accept the name of God? Oh, how disturbing is that? Well, man is going to continue to do what man does, and that is through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, may very well fall condemned by God himself. Let's not go there. Let's let God be the one that we are honoring and glorifying and giving all glory to. And let Jesus, as he said, all authority is given to me. Let's give him that authority. Let's not take it on ourselves. Time for us to take another break, and I apologize for going so long, but I just had to share that with you. That was something that was so disturbing today, especially when the whole event was not about these people up front. It was about a beloved saint who had departed this life.
Thank you, Ricky. We are getting ready to go to break. I want to encourage those of you who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness to go ahead and call 843-553-5157 to enroll in our free Bible correspondence courses. That's 843-553-5157. In the meantime, go ahead and call in your questions, 843-308-9564, or text it, 843-725-9283, and we'll be right back.
We're back live now, and we're so glad that you are joining us, and we appreciate those that are tuning in through the app of Periscope, which is a live video, and so we're glad of you that also are joining us that way. And we have a question from there that we're going to get with in just a second. We want you to know that the Bible Correspondence course that we keep telling you about, you can enroll in it by calling 843-553-5157. Those of you that are tuning in through the video can know that. And so that is, again, to get the Bible Correspondence course is 843-553-5157. And you can enroll during this broadcast. We have 30 minutes left, so you can join us and be able to get that in the mail to you this week. It is absolutely free, and you will discover things in God's Word that you probably have never seen before. And concerning that, we have the caller or the viewer concerning this week. This week is called Christmas Week, and at the end of this week, Christmas Day, and many religions today turn this into a religious celebration, and they call it the birthday of Jesus. Well, ladies and gentlemen, there is nothing in God's Word that says that there is a birthday ever to be celebrated of Jesus. That is something that has come through tradition of man-made religions through the years. Actually, the Lord expects us to celebrate His birth, His life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection every single week. That would be on the first day of the week, which in our calendar, it is called Sunday. And so that would be today, prospectively. And so this is the day that we gathered together to be able to remember what He did for us as we commune with Him in that death, burial, and resurrection concerning eating bread, drinking the fruit of the vine, which represents His body's sacrifice, His blood sacrifice, to redeem us from our sin. And it's done on the first day of the week because that is the day in which He was resurrected. And so that's why it is so very important that we do that. He didn't tell us to make it a yearly or even a seasonally. He told us that we're supposed to do this on the first day of the week. Now, that's Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 when they did that. Now, if that verse had said first day of the month, we would have understood it as a monthly occasion. Or if it had said first day of the year, then we would have understood that as a yearly occasion. But Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 says they came together on that day, the first day of the week, to break bread. And so that is the day that we are to come together to break bread as well, to commune with our Lord and to remember what He did for us. Now, as far as what the world is doing, there's probably dozens of traditions and things that have been, as far as pagan and religious and all kind of things have been attached to this day that the Bible says nothing about. So, being that this program is called Let the Bible Speak, well, there's nothing in the Bible about it, so we're just going to leave it right there. Thank you so much. We sure do appreciate your question. Your name has disappeared, so we apologize for not calling you by name, but we're glad that you called in your question or texted in your question through the Periscope app. Now, if you have a question, go ahead. We've still got time for your question. The lines are available, both lines, at 308-9564, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or you can text us, which is always available, at 725-9283. Steve?
You know, we've been talking about tradition at the outset of the program. And this question about December 25th really highlights the traditions of men versus the commandments of God. And I know that it's, you know, kind of an emotional subject for people. People, you know, kind of have warm, fuzzy feelings for Christmas and the birth of Jesus and, you know, the idea of Jesus being in a manger, all that, such a touching scene. But oftentimes, we don't let Jesus grow up and become the Son of God. And the Son of God said things like, don't call me Lord, Lord, unless you do the things which I say. That's Luke 6:46. And so, you know, that's something to think about, too. So when you think about why we do certain things in certain churches, the thing that we need to be thinking about is this what Jesus wanted me to do? Now, there is a passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, that calls upon us all to do what this verse says. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? So that verse tells us we need to be looking introspectively. We need to be examining ourselves. Are my practices, are my beliefs, are my teachings found in the Word of God? And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says this. He says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And notice what he says the strongholds are. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. As a disciple of Jesus, all of us want to make sure that all our thoughts are cast down so that our thoughts can be brought in captivity to the obedience of Jesus. And that's really our goal, as we should be for disciples.
And that's the kind of attitude of heart we need to have. We've got to have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. For Jesus promises they will be filled in the Beatitudes. He makes that very clear. That hunger and that thirst is referred to in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Ladies and gentlemen, when a baby gets hungry, an infant, just a month or two old, when they get hungry and they want to be fed, do they just kind of look up at mama and daddy and smile and say, okay, it's time to feed me now, I'm hungry? No. If you ignore them for very long, they're going to give you a blood-curdling scream that says, feed me now. And you know what it means. And so that's the kind of hunger and thirst that we should have for righteousness. Do you? Do we hunger for righteousness that much? Do we hunger for His Word that much? Psalm, the largest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, is a tribute to God's Word. And over it compares it to silver and gold and better than treasures and honey and the honeycomb and many other comparisons. That's God's Word. Ladies and gentlemen, do you hunger for God's Word? Why not show that hunger and be able to get into His Word and find the answers that you desire? And the only way to do that is to get into the Word yourself. Now, we're just a tool here on the radio to help you to get into the Word. The tool that will help you more than listening to us would be to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. It is absolutely free. We'll be glad to send it to you. Just put away your checkbook. Do not send us your tithes and offering. Let us give you treasure. Let us send you that silver, that gold, that honeycomb that David spoke about concerning God's Word. We'll be glad to help you to get that out of His Word, to study it and harvest it for yourself so that you will be filled. You can do that right now by calling 553-5157, 553-5157, and leave your name and address, and we will be glad to send that to you free of charge. While we're giving you that number, we want you to be aware of as well that we're going to be having a special meeting during January the 17th and 18th in Goose Creek. And we would be glad to meet you in person. And if you would like to be part of this meeting, there in Goose Creek, then please mark that down on your calendar. Go ahead and mark your calendar Friday night and Saturday night in Goose Creek. We want to meet you in person so that we can talk about God's Word and we'll be able to answer your questions in person. So please mark that down on your calendar, January, the third weekend in January, and we look forward to meeting you in person in Goose Creek. And if you want to make arrangements for an in-home Bible study even before then, maybe you're not available on Friday and Saturday, then call that number again, 553-5157, and we will follow up with that and be able to get the course and the information to you free of charge.
All right, we do apologize. That date is January 15th and 16th. We said the 17th and 18th, but it's January 15th and 16th. That's no problem. Ricky mentioned in-home Bible studies. We're so adamant about getting this message out to the lost, to those who are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We offer the Bible correspondence free of charge, and we will come to your house or your place of business, or we'll meet you somewhere free of charge as well. We'll never, ever ask you for any money. We want you to keep all of your money in your bank, in your pocketbooks or your wallets, or wherever you keep your money at. But we want to give you treasure from heaven, treasure from God's Word. And so, if you're interested, call that number, 843-553-5157. The question is, how important is this Word? How important is the words of Christ? In John chapter 6, Christ is having this conversation with the people, those who were following him, and he's telling them that they have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. I'm not going to read the whole chapter for you, but it's interesting. After he's explaining this to them in verse number 66 in John chapter 6, it says, after this conversation Jesus had with them, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walk with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Yes, Jesus have the words to eternal life. And if we're going to receive eternal life, we have to receive his word. So call 843-553-5157 to enroll in that Bible correspondence course or set up an in-home Bible study. We're getting ready to go to break. So while we're on break, go ahead and call 843-308-9564 with your questions. Text 843-725-9283. And we will be right back.
We are glad that you continued listening to us. We are in our last 15 minutes, actually a little less than 15 minutes of airtime. And so we're so grateful for those who signed up for the Bible Correspondence Course, those who have been texting and calling in your questions. It's so encouraging to us to know that there are people who want to know what the Bible says. That is such an exciting thing in this day and time. And so if you would like to participate as well, maybe you've been hanging on, waiting to get the encouragement or the motivation to call. We're kind of counting down right now. So if you'd like to call us here at the station, that number is 308-9564. You can text us at 725-9283. And that very, very important number that may well change your life, that's that correspondence course. To enroll in it is 553-5157. Ricardo?
All right, Steve, we got a question in from Jack. Jack, thanks so much for calling in your question. His question is Christmas in the Bible? Jack, the program here is Let the Bible Speak, so I'm going to do just that. Christmas is not in the Bible. Thank you, Jack.
Well, that was quick. Thank you, Ricardo. We appreciate that very much. Yes, it's just not there. God never instructed us to teach that or to respect it in any way. And matter of fact, there's one passage that says that I fear lest some of you keep days and months and festivals and such that that are beyond what God's Word says. And so, again, the number, if you want to call in your question, 308-9564. Hurry, that is the voice line, 308-9564. Or if you would rather, you can text in your question at 725-9283. Either way you want to communicate, it's up to you, but God's Word is going to be the answer. We have this texter from 113, the last three digits of their phone number. Their question is, when John says in 1 John 3 and verse 6, everyone who remains in him does not sin, is he referring to occasional sins or a lifestyle of continuous sins? And so even as I was reading that, I came the second part of your question came in, and we obviously, I think you answered it yourself. The 1 John chapter 3 talks about several times that if someone loves God and knows God, they will not sin. It is a matter of an ongoing, continuous practice of sin. It will not be a lifestyle of sin, because they, when they do sin, as the chapter 1 brings out, and verses 8 and 10, it makes it very clear, we're going to sin. So that would be a contradiction that says that one place it says that we're going to sin. We do sin, and if we say we don't sin, we make him a liar or that his word is not in us, and so we're going to sin. So it is talking about an ongoing practice of sin. I may be a sinner, but I am not a practicing sinner from the standpoint I will repent of those sins, and that's what 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 does bring out, verse 9 and verse 7. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So it is an ongoing present practice of sin. And thus, that's not what a Christian does. So when someone is sinning, they're supposed to be brokenhearted to the point that they are willing to confess and turn away from that sin. Thank you so much for your question, and thank you for the desire to know God and to find out what God says. And throughout that chapter, as you read that, you will see when it is an ongoing practice of sin. We sure do appreciate that very much.
In fact, the New American Standard uses that word, practices sin.
Yes.
And so if a person becomes a Christian and they're not drinking and running around going to the club anymore, then people who they used to run with will say, well, you're not practicing those things like you used to. I mean, they have identified themselves as a Christian because they're not practicing those things. And so I appreciate that question. That's a very good thing for us to think about. A lot of Christians are concerned about that and what the idea of practicing means. We've got about 6 minutes left in our program. If you have a question that you are just anxious to get the answer to, you'd like to participate, please do not delay. Give us a call, 308-9564, text us at 725-9283, and you can get your question in that we'll have time now to look at that and discuss that as we continue with the program.
In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, God says, beware lest any of you cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. There's that is again. We can see that throughout the New Testament. It goes on to say, verse 11, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off of the body of sins of the flesh by the resurrection, by the circumcision of Christ, being buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And so there we see this passage that's talking about we've got to be careful lest we are cheated, and that literally has the idea of being made captive. And so when God sends us a warning of beware, do you think we should pay attention to that? What if all of a sudden someone burst into the room and said, "Beware, beware"? Would you pay attention to them? Well, yeah. Well, here's God saying, "Beware." And he included in the details of what we should look for and how severe it is. That they were going to be led away captive. It would be the philosophies, the ideas, the systems of teachings of man. And he says, let us know that we can escape from this by being in Christ, where we can be complete and whole, and where he reigns as head over all principalities and powers. But it does require something of us. It requires us to be buried with him and raised with him by the faith in the working of God. So when does that occur? Well, verse 12 makes it very clear. Buried with him in baptism. Did you know that? There may be some other things in God's word that you may have never heard before. And it would be very important to learn these things before we leave this earth behind. So what better reason than this to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course that you might be made free from sin, that you might be raised with him, that you may have that hope because we belong to him as we have died and buried and risen from the dead through the watery grave, being baptized into Christ. Why not call 553-5157 and get this course to you in the mail this week so that you will not have any surprises on that day of judgment coming up. 553-5157. And you will be able to get that course in the mail to you, and it will answer more of your questions on that subject. Steve?
We've heard the song and heard the phrase, when the roll is called up yonder. Where's that roll coming from, do you think? Would it be possible that would be the book of life that's talked about in the scriptures? Philippians 4, verse 4, for instance, talks about those people that were true comrades whose names were in the book of life. How do you get your name in the book of life? Well, you are obedient to the Savior. And there's a passage in Romans chapter 6, verse 7, 16 and 17 that's very, very important. It says that you were the servants of sin, but now have been made the servants of righteousness because you have obeyed from the heart that form of teaching that was delivered to you. Three important things in that verse, 17. There's the idea of obeying from the heart, that form of teaching, and so that's very, very important. So think about that as you think about your relationship to God.
We have a texter texting in this question or statement, actually, and interesting that their phone number actually parallels our number that for having people to call, 5157. And they said, I gradually in the past few years got out of celebrating Christmas. And this season realized through Christ why I should not participate in Christmas activities. I commend you for your teaching through your program. Praise God. Well, we want to thank you. And I noticed your area code is outside this area. But wherever you're from, we want to thank you. And hopefully you have been able to be blessed from this program. And we hope and pray that you've enrolled in the Bible Correspondence Course, too, because there may be some other things that you have not seen in God's Word as well.
Ricky, I'm convinced that we know nothing, and God knows everything.
Amen.
If we can just keep that in mind as we go about our life, we never have to try to figure out what the answer is. God has already provided the answer. He has provided the solution, and all we have to do is seek his word, seek his way. There's a scripture. It talks about how we ought not to lean on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. You know, we have to let God be true and every man a liar. We have to take God's word and believe what it says, but not just believe, do what it says. When we hear God's word, we have to be doers of that word. We encourage you, if you hadn't already, sign up for the Bible Correspondence Course, 553-557, 553-5157, And as always, what we do on this program is we will always and forever let the Bible speak.